For Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, you're listening to the Tank Slappers podcast. Joining me this week, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont, all the way from the United States. And on this week's show, we will be previewing this weekend's America's Grand Prix. But I want to start, Yuri, with the big news of the last week, which is, of course, Fabio Quartararo's new two-year deal with Yamaha, a major piece in the rider market conundrum for 2025. And I think, Yuri, I wouldn't say surprise is maybe the right word, but I think certainly we maybe weren't expecting Yamaha to kind of make this big announcement so soon, given the comments that Fabio's been making recently about the competitiveness of the bike.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it would have been dangerous for Yamaha to wait a bit too long. The priority of the brand was to try to resign him, to renew him. So that was the main target for them. So the sooner the better, because otherwise you offer your competitors an option to try to convince him. And he has been in talks with different manufacturers, especially with Aprilia, until very last minute. And yeah, I think in Portimao he changed a bit the words about Yamaha. I was not able to interpret them; otherwise, I would have tried to dig into the thing. But I think it was I wouldn't as you say, it was not expected that soon, but I think it was logical from Yamaha's perspective to try to tie him and sign him, because otherwise they would have put themselves in trouble.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you look at the past kind of, 2 years, really, the best results Yamaha have gotten have come from Fabio. He has, and even during that 2021 season when he won the championship, and he kind of outperformed that bike. You know, he was by far and away the best Yamaha rider, and it's natural that Yamaha would want to try and keep him. They enticed him with a lot of money, which obviously a rival manufacturer like Aprilia just couldn't match. So from Fabio's perspective, when someone puts a lot of money in front of you, you'd be silly to say no to that. But I guess there was still this feeling that he would maybe be tempted by potentially Aprilia with a more competitive bike to be the one to maybe raise the level of that bike.
Yes, but you always need a compromise. Of course, Yamaha has convinced him not only with the money, that's for sure, but I think he has seen multiple changes in the last month, especially after the arrivals of Max Bartolini, the new technical director. Yamaha has put this guy on top of the management alongside the Japanese bosses. So Yamaha has given him a lot of power, and this guy brings a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge from Ducati, being alongside Gigi Dalligna. So I think, and also the influence of this guy in all the structure is one of the key factors that have made Fabio deciding to stay in Yamaha, and to give Yamaha another opportunity that few months ago in that dynamic was, in my opinion, completely out of his mind.
Yeah, I'm interested to get your thoughts on kind of what Fabio's decision maybe says about where Aprilia stands right now, because yes, it was less money that Aprilia could offer him, but a better bike. And if Fabio's felt that staying with Yamaha and the direction that they are taking is maybe better than the direction Aprilia is taking, how does this reflect on Aprilia?
Yeah, I think Aprilia is ready to fight for something big. And don't forget that 2 years ago they were fighting with Aleix for the title until I think it was the last overseas rounds, the last overseas round, where the back, I would say, got stuck in its evolution and was not able to keep up with the evolution of the pace. But I'm also curious to see what happens with Yamaha, because I mean, if this doesn't work, it will be difficult for him to justify, because it's not been once but twice when he said last year that he was not going to give Yamaha another chance. So I assume he has feel something different this time. Otherwise, it would have been a mistake to stay there. So I'm curious to see this reaction, this change on the bike. Otherwise, he will be in trouble, even for trying to justify his decision. So, I think it's interesting times ahead for Yamaha and for Fabio as well. And also for Aprilia, because I think Aprilia, we saw in last race a different Aleix, a bit more in trouble, but we've seen a super, super, super strong and solid Maverick. Let's see if we have another really good Maverick, which it's not been like this in the past.
Yeah, for sure. I just going back to Fabio, you know, I think the kind of the key thing I think for him is that's probably swayed him more than the money is Max Bartolini. You know, he's spoken very, very favourably about Max since he came in. And I think he's been willing to, there's something that Max has brought to the team that Fabio seems to have been a bit more willing to be patient about. You know, he said that it's only been a few months, so he can't, you know, Max hasn't been able to affect many big changes, but Fabio feels like he has a very good connection with him already. And I guess that's maybe got to be one of the key factors there for Yamaha.
Yeah, I think the impact that this guy has had in the oil structure has probably changed Fabio's perspective and Fabio's approach. So as you say, I think it was one of the key factors of his decision, explaining his decision to stay in Yamaha.
It's quite a big change, you know, a big move in the rider market with Fabio kind of taken off the board. You know, now we've got Pecco signed, Brad's obviously signed for next year. We've got Aldegaze signed on a contract to race somewhere next year. And now Fabio, and it's kind of shifted, I think, now the spotlight onto, I guess, really the two main people now are Jorge Martin and Marc Marquez, and what goes on with those two guys.
Jorge Martin and Marc are one of the key question marks, because neither of them has contract for next year in place. And they are two big opportunities for the competition. I think now Martin has cleared and either whether he stays in Ducati as a factory rider in the red team, or he will have to sign for another team. I think Aprilia is really interested on talking to him. And they have done it in the past, even last year. So I think it will be very, very interesting months. And also, as it happened in Formula One, I think this riders market has a start super soon. And I think the next, let's say, two or three races will be crucial and will give us a better picture of what we're going to have next year.
I mean, Martin to Aprilia is an interesting kind of situation. Does Aprilia, if it wants a rider like him, have to now find money, a bit more money from somewhere? Because we know that Martin will be wanting, you know, a pay rise.
Yeah, in the end, I spoke with Massimo Ribola the other day, and he told me, I mean, now the approach of the manufacturers have changed a bit in terms of the rider's contract and the structure of the contracts. So, for example, Peco, his base salary moves around, I wouldn't say because I don't know the exact figure, but I would say that is between 6 and 7 million as a base salary, plus bonus. Mm. What Rivola told me is, I mean, any rider interested on joining us shouldn't be scared about money, shouldn't be afraid about the money factor, because he needs to stay focused on racing. No worries. If he is fast, he will get money. So he will have big money. So now it's this kind of structure. So the manufacturers give them a good base salary, but the big money comes from bonuses. For example, Peco, last year being champion, doubled around the salary with bonus and the title. So I think last year he got around, 10, 11 million, something like that.
That's not bad for a, that's not bad in bonuses.
No, I think last year was a bit less because, yeah, it was before the renewal. But now he's getting that money if he gets a title. So his base salary is between 6 and 7. And you can say that, you can apply that to all the different sizes and manufacturers. So Aprilia at its size, it would do the same. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Probably they are able to offer 3 million or, you know, and bonuses. So that's the way it works. And I think it's pretty fair. But Yamaha was in a different position because with the competitiveness of this bike, they knew that the bonuses is nothing that you can really, this convinced him to stay.
Yeah, I hope Yamaha haven't put some sort of ridiculous win bonus in the contract and then Fabio all of a sudden starts winning. So I guess that'll start to cause some problems. But a kind of an interesting question that might be kind of difficult for you to answer. Obviously, we now know that Liberty Media is coming in to buy the championship. And with that, we'll hopefully come in a bit more, money, outside money into the sport. Do you see over the next sort of 5-10 years that the rider salary thing will change to where MotoGP riders start to become a bit like Formula One drivers in terms of money?
I think it all will be related to the as you mentioned, as the amount of money that the manufacturers and the championship gets. There's something really clear. If you get more sponsors and more quality sponsors, the money will go up. And then the value of the championship will go up. The value of the manufacturers will go up. The value of the teams as well. So they will have more money. And I think it's a natural process. It's a natural process. But now we come from a difficult situation. You remember when Jorge Lorenzo joined Ducati, he was getting those 12.5 million a year. Then with the COVID, the manufacturers slowed down a bit or a big bit. Then Honda made the renovation with the renewal with Mark and put on the table 20 million, around 20 million per year. So yeah, I really think it will come back to really, really good numbers for in terms of rider salaries, but probably a bit more logical than in the past. It needs to be a natural process, an organic process. I mean, because especially in cases like Aprilia, Piaggio Group doesn't want to invest that much money. In only so for Aprilia Racing, is difficult to get to have the I would say the green light for all the investment. Don't forget that they were with Gresini, and Piaggio wanted to see first that they were able to manage a team, a MotoGP team. So, okay, now we are factory team. Okay, now we bring Ribola. Now, so they are going step by step, which I think it's a right, a really good thinking.
Yeah, for sure. We'll just quickly move on to the race ahead. You know, we've got the third round of the Championship America, and I think we're all quite eager to see sort of round two of Marc Marquez and Francesco Bagnaia after what happened in Portugal. Let's say we know Marc's comments and his side of the story. Pecco was very subdued. You know, Thursday is going to be a very, very interesting day. And this weekend, I think, is, you know, all eyes are going to be on Marc and seeing, you know, can he... You know, what can he really do on this bike, on a track that he loves?
Yeah, I think it's I wouldn't say now or never, but for him is the biggest opportunity to show and to get that extra boost in terms of self confidence. And also, I think he knows Austin racetrack better than anybody else, so he will probably get a lot of information about his new bike. So if he has still some doubts in, I don't know which areas of the bike, he will probably understand the full picture here in Austin better than in any other racetrack, because he knows all the tricks. And he's been faster than anybody else here. So I think it's the perfect scenario for him to, I don't know if complete is the right word, but to make a big and important step in his adaptation to the Desmosedici.
Yeah, 100%. We obviously know Mark's record here. And even on the years when his arm wasn't so good and the Honda wasn't so good, he's always been very, very strong in Austin. And it's hard to not kind of picture him at the very least getting on the podium this weekend. But it does feel, like you said, not make or break, but it does feel like a very, very key weekend in Marquez's season. If this weekend doesn't go very well, then maybe the rest of the season gets a bit more difficult. You know, if it goes great this weekend, then all of a sudden the mentality changes a bit.
Yeah, I think we all agree something needs to happen for this weekend to be bad for him. I mean, the bike is stable. The bike is fast, and he has shown big potential in Portimao and also in Qatar. So he's getting closer and closer. And that's, in my opinion, that's the mark we're going to see during the year. But this will be one of the tracks where he needs to put this extra that will give him the chance to fight for, I don't know if the title is a bit, it's too soon, but for that top positions in the standings. So Austin is a track where he needs to make the difference. That's for sure. If he wants to, you know, to challenge the top guys in terms of the general standings.
And I get the biggest threat to him though this weekend is going to be Jorge Martin. We've seen a new Martin after Portugal, a mature, you know, Martin. Someone who just looks like he's just taken another step, and he looks like he's really, really in dangerous form now.
I think that he has going into a, I don't know if you how do you say in English, metamorphosis. So over the last 3 years, so he came from being super, super, super fast in terms of pure speed, but not so much consistent. He has changed that last year. He focused on trying to be more solid and to gain this level of consistency. And I think this year is the perfect match. I would say that it's at the moment, for me, is the most complete rider on the grid in terms of performance, mental approach, and outcome, what he gets. So I think he's not risking that much. He has the situation pretty much under control. And let's see, because it will be difficult to put him in let's say to put him nervous, because again he has nothing to lose. He knows that whether he stays in Ducati, it will be in a factory team, or he will have to try to look somewhere else. But I think he's in a really comfortable position from the mental point of view, and as you say, yeah, I think it's one of the most, I would say, probably the most dangerous guy out there at the moment.
Well, I'm very interested to see what happens this weekend. I think it's we've had a great start to the season, and I think this weekend will be I think it will be a bit special. Yuri, thank you very much for your company as always, and we'll speak to you next week after what I'm sure is going to be another great weekend.
Thank you very much. I'm super excited as well.
And thank you, as ever, to the listeners. If you like, you know, what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts on all your various podcast platforms. And please keep your eyes on autosport.com and motorsport.com for all the news and the latest from the Austin round this weekend. This has been the Tank Slappers podcast for autosport.com and Autosport Magazine. We'll see you next time. Thank you.